I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Thank you for taking time to listen, whether it's over our radio broadcast, on CD, podcast, or our website. I really do believe that God has a special message just for you, a message designed to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, and to guide you in your daily living. Let's go now to the sanctuary of Harvest Christian Ministries for a worship experience already in progress.
Let's turn to Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to begin at verse number 12. And for context purposes, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Romans chapter number 8. Romans is a New Testament book. And if by chance you don't know where the New Testament is, look at your table of contents. That's why it's there. Amen. Be not ashamed. Romans chapter number 8, beginning at verse 12. And let's stand as we reverence the word of God. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Rome. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if I live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Help me share my topic today with your neighbor and just say it. Neighbor, I know who I am. Look at somebody else and say, neighbor, I know who I am. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God for just a few moments for this sermonic dissertation. I want to preach from the thought, I know who I am. Now, I'm a Baptist preacher, so I like a talk back church. So if you talk back, we'll have a good time today with one another. I know who I am. My brothers and sisters, the experiences that we have in life shape the way that we think about the world, how we think about others within the world, and most importantly, what we think about ourselves. I believe we are living in a sensitive moment in life. As we survey the world around us, the reality is that many around us, and maybe even ourselves, are suffering with low self-esteem. Many of our life experiences have been rough. We've dealt with persecution. We've dealt with rejection. We've dealt with people treating us any kind of way, to the point now that we question who we are. Some of us, even today, are battling with, am I really beautiful? Am I college material? Will I ever get married? Am I living in the right body? These are real questions that people are asking, and some are even asking in this room. In our text, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And I want you to understand that the church at Rome is just like the church of today. Many of those persons that came to the church at Rome or in the different churches in Rome were not all the same. They were of different ethnicities and nationalities because it was Rome that was the epicenter for commerce and for change. And so that means, my brothers and sisters, that everybody that came to worship was coming from a different walk of life. People were dealing with different struggles and they were dealing with different trials, just like you and I. Your struggle is not my struggle. Your problem is not my problem. Your issue is not my issue. But the fact is, all of us in this life will experience a moment in time where we will question what God is doing in our life and what our purpose is in this life. Paul is writing and he really gets down to this thing and helping us to understand that low self-esteem is the result of an identity crisis. For it is easy to become confused in a world that is full of confusion. In fact, it is really easy for you to have faith in God. But watch this. It's a hard thing to have faith and to struggle with fear. So you got to understand something, my brothers and sisters, that when you declare that you believe God, that you trust God, that you're going to serve God, that you're going to live for God, the devil is always looking for an opportunity to bring you back to the place where you used to be. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but God has brought me too far. He's done too many things. He's blessed me too many times. He's kept me too many nights for me to go back to the place that he brought me from. And so, my brothers and sisters, many of us here today wrestle with fear. And it's not the fact that we fear what God can do. We fear what God can do with us. And a lot of times it's not even just fearing what God can do with us, but we fear the attack of the devil after God has blessed us. So you got to understand something, my brothers and sisters. When God blesses you, when God promotes you, when God allows you to go to the next place in your life, the devil is always looking for an opportunity to cause you to back up. But I come to Harvest this morning to encourage a young brother, encourage a young sister, encourage a seasoned brother or a seasoned sister to let you know that today you will discover who you are. For the Bible declares that you were created in the image of God and in his likeness were you made. And even though when we were born, we were formed and shapen in iniquity, but I declare to you that when you accept the Lord into your life, the Bible says that he'll wash you whiter than snow. And so, my brothers and sisters, there's three things I want to leave with you, and I'll get out of your way to help us to understand where we find our identity. In verse 14 of chapter 8, Paul says this to the church at Rome. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, watch this, are sons of God. Let's go back to new members class for just a moment. Paul helps the church at Rome to understand that when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, it is not just a mere verbal affirmation, but it is an internal affirmation. When you say out of your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ died, I believe that he was buried, and I believe on the third day he got up with all power in his hand, it is not something that you just say verbally. It is an internal experience. You give God your heart, you give him your mind, you give him your soul. So which means, watch this, that when you give God all of who you are, God in return fills you with his Spirit. And so in understanding who you are, first of all, you must have a Spirit-led life. Paul says, for all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. When you allow the Spirit of God to lead your life, it is an indication that you have a relationship with God. Many of us here today, we struggle and we wrestle with allowing the Spirit to take control of our life. Watch this, because when the Spirit takes control, we got to give up some stuff. We have to let go of some folk. We have to move away from some things. And the reality is this, that there are some people, there are some things that we do that we really don't want to let go of. But the thing is, if you are going to live a Spirit-led life, it's just got to happen like that. How do you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Watch this. If you are living a life of bondage, then the Spirit of God is not fully taking control of your life. If every day is not a day of sunshine, I get it. You're going to experience some rainy days. But if you allow your rainy days to outdo your faith, then you are not allowing the Spirit of God to lead you. So he says, you have to have a Spirit-led life. When you know who you are, you don't allow your trials to define your faith. You don't allow the rough side of the mountain that you have to climb to define who you are in God. But in fact, when you know who you are and whose you are, you can look at your mountain and declare, mountain, you got to move out of my way. Who am I talking to today that can speak to your mountain and say, mountain, you got to move out of my way? Every trial and every tribulation, it will not prosper. The Bible says that though the weapons form, they will not prosper. The devil may come up against you, but when the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you, you can look at your bad day and say, God is still good. You can look at your low finances and still believe that God will make a way. Anybody believe that today? That God will make a way? That God will provide? That God will heal you? That God will regulate your mind? Is there anybody that knows that you serve an awesome God?
My God, my God, my God.
Secondly, and I'm almost out your way. Verse 15, look at it with me. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received, watch this, the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So, first of all, we find out who we are in God, first of all, by having a Spirit-led life. But then secondly, we find who we are in God, watch this, by relying on our source. Paul rebukes the church when he says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Let me break this down to you. Paul is simply saying to them that you did not allow yourself to be yoked to God. You did not allow yourself to deny your flesh, to take up your cross and follow God, to just allow fear to hold you back. He simply says to them, my brothers and my sisters, watch this. When you allow fear to speak for you, you then disconnect yourself from the relationship that you put fear to the backside for. That simply means that if God promised you that you would get through school, that you would graduate, why are you stopping when God already promised that you would graduate? Who am I talking to? God says, I would heal your body.
Yeah, I know the doctor said you may have stage 4 cancer. The doctor may have said that you had a bad kidney. But if God said in his word that by his stripes you are healed, then why aren't you walking in your healing? Is there anybody here today that can say, I'm not going to walk in fear, but I'm walking by faith and knowing that I don't see it yet, but God is going to make a way somehow. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 16, he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What does that mean, preacher? It simply means that even on our worst day, when we petition God, when we pray to God, it's the Spirit of God that says, God, hey, watch this. God, this is your child. It is a reminder to God of the promise that he put on your life. Can I take you to the promise God told Abraham? He says that I'll bless your coming in and I'll bless your going out. He says, I'll bless your uprising. I'll bless your sitting down. And in fact, he says, and when the devil comes in one way, he's got to flee 7 ways because my promise is on your life. But then there's one more thing, and I'm leaving. Verse 17, he says, look at it with me. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are children of God. Children of God. And then he goes on to say that because we are children of God, we must suffer. In verse 17, why? Because we are heirs. And he says, provided that you have suffered with Jesus, then you will be glorified with Jesus. So first of all, we know that in finding who we are, we find it first of all through living a spirit-filled life. Secondly, we find out who we are through relying on our source. But then thirdly and finally, we find who we are, watch this, through the diversity of glory. He says here that the very glory that we will receive comes through suffering. What does that mean, preacher? That simply means that those bad days that you had, those tears that you cried, those sleepless nights, those people that rejected you, those bad situations that you had to go through, it was worth it. Why? Because I hear James saying, he says, count it all joy when you find yourself in different types of situations. He says, watch this, because it's in those situations that God is working your patience. And as God works your patience, he then works forth your hope. And when God works forth your hope, then you have an expectation that God is going to do something. And I don't know about you, but I just have a sneaky suspicion that everything that I've gone through it for a reason. Every trial that I've gone through, it's made me stronger. Every dark day, it's made me better. Is there anybody here that can declare it's made you better? That you praise more now today than you ever praised God before, because you know that weeping may endure for a night, but I wish I had somebody out there that can say, preacher, I'm going to praise God anyhow, because I know he didn't bring me this far to leave me. I know that even though I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain, God is still good, that God is still worthy of the praise. Do you believe that he's worthy? Come on, somebody ought to praise him and testify that when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Anybody have a praise today that God will make a way out of no way. I've seen him make miracles. I've seen him heal.
Yeah.
I've seen him provide.
Yeah.
And if he did it for somebody else, I know he can do it for me. Come on, do me a favor. Just grab your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I know who I am.
I know who I am.
I know whose I am. Yeah. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. It was Jesus that died for my sins. It was Jesus that got up on an early Sunday morning with all power in his hands. Is there anybody that knows that God is able? Come on and give God a praise. Come on and thank him. Come on and bless him. He's worthy of the praise. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hey, hey.
Tell somebody he's a good God.
Good God.
And he's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. He's worthy.
Hey.
He's worthy. He's worthy.
My.
Come on, don't let the devil stop your praise.
Hey.
But you ought to think about what God has done for you. Think about where he's brought you from. Think about the trials that he's brought you over.
Well,
and if God did it before, he can do it again.
My.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hey, yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Glory to God. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Thank you, Lord.
Hey.
Thank you, Lord. For what you've done.
Yes, Lord.
And helping us to understand that no matter what we go through, you're still an awesome God.
Yeah.
That every trial, every tribulation,
my God,
allows us to understand Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose.
Yeah.
God, when you have anointed us, the only way that our anointing can be perfected,
my God,
is if we suffer.
Mm.
So thank you, God, for the heartbreak.
Yeah, Lord.
Thank you.
Hey.
For the repossession.
Mm.
Thank you.
Ah.
For the diagnosis.
My.
For God, you're working our faith.
Yes, Lord.
For you tell us that a just man shall live by faith.
My God.
So, God, we surrender this morning. Every pain.
Hallelujah.
Every heartache. Every trial.
My.
Every financial situation.
Hey.
Every health situation.
My God.
Every bullying situation. Oh, God, every confused situation,
we lay
it at your feet.
Yeah.
Because we are joint heirs. And because we are joint heirs, God, we understand that we have access to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
So, God, we give it to you.
Hallelujah.
We lay it at your feet. And we know that you are able.
Yeah, Lord.
To do exceeding.
Ah.
Abundantly. Above all that we could ever ask or think. But God, you tell us it's according to the power.
Power.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hey.
That worketh in us.
My God.
So God, give us dunamis power.
Hey.
That power that is a supernatural. Give us the power to speak to the devil and put him under our feet. Give us the power.
Thank you, Lord.
To war in the spirit. For God, we know that you have a hedge of protection all around us.
Hallelujah.
And so, God, we conclude this prayer in faith, knowing that he that hath begun a good work in us, hallelujah,
hey,
shall perform it
ah.
until the day of Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Thank you for my neighbor.
Ah.
Thank you for what you're doing in their life. for God, the best is yet to come.
My God.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give God a praise today.
I pray you were helped in some way by this message. Be sure to follow Harvest Christian Ministries on radio, CD, podcast, or over our new website. It's cometoharvest.org. That's come to harvest, C-O-M-E, the number 2, and harvest.org. Take time to experience the website and all that we have to offer as a ministry. In the meantime, pray that God will continue to allow us to reach a community for Christ, for the cause of the kingdom. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin. Have a great day in the Lord.